Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The
Score! Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on a 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Welcome to the best betting football weekend of the year, our last week of moving parts during the playoffs. If you're hearing Early Odds for the first time, we're usually hanging out Saturday mornings 8 to 9. We'll be back in that time slot next week. I'm Joe Ostrowski, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Ostrowski. That's at Joe Ostrowski. To start things off on divisional round weekend, which you can hear all four games right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Two today, two tomorrow. We bring in my guy, Sammy Panionovich of Nesson in Boston, does stuff for Fox Sports, Chicken Dinner Podcast as well. Sammy, before we dive into these games, two quick observations. One, on Twitter, you remove the last name. It's just Sammy P. Not sure how Pops feels about that one. And I did want to give a public thank you on the other one because I was curious. And I was scrolling down the Chicken Dinner podcast feed today. I'm like, oh, good. Sammy deleted all our episodes. And I'm genuine. I'm not saying that with sarcasm at all because we'd all be fired.
I actually did not delete anything.
I wish you would have.
We've done so many episodes since 2016 that I think they just sort of got phased out. And the reason that I found out is because I was looking for an old episode with Tim Doyle.
Oh no.
Doyle and I, this is right after you left because Veasan poached you and said, yeah, you can't go on Chicken Dinner anymore. So they stole you away from me. And I had Doyle on like 2 weeks later. And we were talking for 2-3 minutes about betting the Hawaii game. And he was telling this story about being at McFadden's and the bartender had Hawaii in the over and he bet the dog in the under. And we were dying laughing about the Hawaii bailout on Saturday at 11 Eastern. And I couldn't find it. And then I realized that a lot of the old episodes just didn't make the jump from Libsyn, Transistor or something. Like, I didn't delete them. I wish I could say that I did because, yeah, a lot of those were uncensored and not FAA approved or FCC approved or whatever. I mean, whatever alphabet soup you want. They were not on board or above board. It was not my idea to remove the full last name, but I mean, nobody can say Panionovich.
Oh, somebody told you to?
It popped up on game day. We love Sammy P.
Yes.
And then I got wind of that and I made that my cover photo. And then one of the guys at Fox was like, look, we all call you Sammy P. And then everybody at Nesson calls me Sammy P. So I don't know. Like, it's not that important, I don't think, but it's much easier for people to say Sammy P than it is to say Panionovich, right?
Yeah, I could understand.
I mean, you're
that.
Joe O. Who are you to tell me I can't use P?
I've got the Strowski on there still. Let him know. Not Irish, Polish.
My dad doesn't even know what Twitter is.
I know. That's why I said that. That's why it's quite amusing to me. Yeah, Veasan poached me, but they never paid me. So I forgot about that. That's a whole nother story.
I can relate to that not being paid. Never mind. I can't talk.
All right. Yeah. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. All right, let's go to this afternoon. We're on a later time today. So we're just now hours away from Kansas City and Jacksonville. And this is leg number one of the teaser that everybody is going to have. They're linking the two favorites today, Kansas City
over to Philadelphia. I can't say it's a bad move, but I'm probably not going to be jumping in with them. It is KC -8.5 versus Jacksonville. Total has actually climbed this week. Highest total of the week. We're at 43. Sammy, I found it noteworthy that throughout the week, some of the sharper offshore books had this one at 10.
And once they got to 10, bang, you know, comes right back down 9.5, 9. We're seeing a lot of the books 8.5, 9. And I don't think that's going to change by kickoff. This total has sort of been bounced around too. Open 52. There are some 53s out there. I make a case that Kansas City's secondary is not that good. Mm-hmm. But when we think about game script, Andy Reid has been one of the best ever off the bye. So I think Kansas City's going to score. And we'll see some things from them that we haven't seen this season. They're going to save some plays to empty the kitchen sink at some point in this postseason. So you might see some trickeration or some, you know, Travis Kelce throwing a touchdown pass or something like that. I think we have an avenue to points on both sides. And we know how well Jacksonville can play against prevent defense. We saw that last week. And the Chargers have a good front, but their secondary is nothing special either. So I guess the simple answer is I expect points here. So I sort of lean over. And I would probably take 9. I think the Jacksonville D, their front is a lot better than people think. They're going to do their best to keep Mahomes in the pocket and sort of slow the game, not let KC, you know, move fast and run those quick drives down the field. There's also snow in the forecast. Now, that doesn't really slow the total, but I think it might make it tougher for KC to blow this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And look, man, Doug Peterson, that guy, a lot like Brian Daboll, who we'll talk about in a second, that guy coaches to win. He doesn't coach to tie. He's not a coward. 4th and 1, his side of the 50, he's going for it. Coaches mm-hmm. like that are fun to bet on because they are willing to take the risks as underdogs. So I lean to Jacksonville. Obviously, KC probably wins the game, but I think that spread's a little too high. So if you made me bet this game, I'd take 9 or 9.5 with the Jags.
The first half for Jacksonville did occur last week. I know nobody's talking about it, but it did happen. Of the 8 quarterbacks that we're going to see, QB playing his worst ball right now is probably Trevor Lawrence as he's trying to navigate his first time through the playoffs. Hey, have you heard he's never lost on a Saturday? 37-0 straight up. I think that's going to end. So when these two teams face in the middle of the year, week number 10, Jacksonville was a different team, right? So I don't want to take too much away from it, but I think there are a couple of interesting notes. KC wins 27-17. Kansas City lost the turnover battle 3-0, and they won by double digits. And the Jaguars recovered an onside kick in that game. And the matchup that stands out is you have the Chiefs with the best passing offense in the league going against one of the worst passing defenses in Jacksonville this season. Andy Reid, extra time to prepare, always scary. 28-6 straight up, 21-13 against the spread. I'm looking to KC first quarter, first half. I like both of those. For the first quarter one, as long as you're at one of those books where you can get the -2.5 instead of the 3.5 that's posted, that makes sense to me. First half, -5.5. I'm good with that, but that's my angle there, Sammy. I would look to Kansas City early on in this game.
You think the over is good too? You like the over as well, or are you more under?
Probably more under, not going to have an official play on the total. I'm a little surprised that it's climbed.
Yeah, well, these two quarterbacks are very good, especially in the second half. So we shall see. Yeah, there are 4 games. You don't need to have 22 bets like some people do.
I know. I mean, that's how you get yourself into trouble. You can handicap a game perfectly, and then you'll be wrong on one of these dumb props, which you thought would correlate to the result that you were expecting. That's how you lose. That's how you lose. And then you don't want to eat the juice either, especially when you had it handicapped correctly. All right, let's go to tonight. We've got Philadelphia -7.5 against the New York Giants for the 3rd time this season. Now, the first time I put more into it. It didn't happen until week 14. It was the Eagles winning 48-22. They ran all over this Giants defense for over 250 yards. Sanders had a big game. So did Hurts. I don't put as much on week 18. Yes, Hurts made his return, but the shoulder was still bothering Hurts, or they were just worried about it because the designed runs that we saw in the previous matchup were not there. Now, that's the big question. Are we going to see the Hurts that we saw much of the regular season when he was the MVP candidate? All right, Eagles -7.5. mentioned total 48. Where are you at?
I'm in a Giants pretzel, man. And I think you can confirm there were not many people that had more skin on the Giants this year than I did. I went over the win total, 6.5 and 7, had them to make the playoffs at about 5-2. Mm-hmm. And I like to bet them a lot on a week-to-week basis, especially when they were an underdog. I mean, Joe, you're talking about a team that was 11-2 this year as a dog. They made you money, and they made you a lot of money. But the first impression I had of this number was, uh-oh, this is a Philly line. And what I mean by that is the books in Vegas that open these games, they opened 7.5, not 7, not 6.5. They were willing to open over a full touchdown, which is, as you know, built-in respect for the favorite. So that got me nervous. And I'm like, man, Philly's going to win this game by 3 touchdowns. But the more I think about it, it's like I have to go back to what worked all season. A team that is formidable on defense, and let's also not ignore that a lot of those guys on the Giants were banged up this year, especially on that defensive line. I mean, Leonard Williams, their defensive tackle, missed a lot of games. Dexter Lawrence missed a handful up front. They just got Adoree Jackson back, one of their best corners. Julian Love was a little banged up. They're finally like as healthy as they've been on defense, so that's good. And the other thing is that Brian Daboll is just – he's a difference maker. I thought he was going to change things for sure, but I didn't think they would be this good this year against the number. We're talking about a football team, Joe, best in the NFL at covering, 14-4 this year. Is it a big sample size? No, but it's good enough. 78% against the number. And this guy, Daboll, not only does he have everybody in the right position on offense, but he attacks what you're not good at. He did it against Minnesota. Minnesota couldn't stop mobile quarterbacks. What did he do? He ran Daniel Jones into the ground, which opened up play action and opened up everything else. He's going to have this team prepared and ready to go, unlike Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur and Joe Judge. The other thing is that Daboll is not afraid, a lot like Doug Peterson, to take risks. So there's going to come a time in this game where he's going to do a fake punt, or he's going to do an onside kick, or he's going to do something that he shouldn't do, but he's going to try and give his team a lift and a spark. And with all of that said, I find myself on the dog again, and I'm going to take 7.5. I don't love it, but damn it, I have to do it.
Backing Daboll and Doug, I don't think it's the worst idea. I'm very uncomfortable with this. You know me as a bettor. I don't like laying a lot of points, but I think the favorites are in good spots. And this is actually my favorite side of the four games. Give me the Eagles, and I'm going to lay it.
Well, then.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a little speculation on my part, but I do think the Eagles are much healthier than what we saw a couple of weeks ago. Hurts was completely off the injury report. Lane Johnson, big difference maker for them. He's good to go. So is Josh Sweat and his 11 sacks. If Daboll's attacking the weakness of the Eagles, there's only one that I can come up with. It's their running defense. So if you want to look at some Giants props, that certainly makes sense to me. The biggest mismatch that I see in this game, though, the Eagles rush offense, arguably the best in the NFL, going against the Giants rush defense, 32nd, dead last, rush DVOA. And I mentioned in that 48-22 game, that's what they did. 253 rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. Sanders went off. Hurts went off. And then there's also Boston Scott, which everybody's going to have an anytime touchdown on this guy. He's 4-1 for an anytime touchdown. He has 18 career touchdowns. 10 of them are against the Giants. And it happened again this season. It's pretty wild. To your point on the Giants, something else, Daniel Jones, what a performance last week. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him moving forward. But he's better on the road for some strange reason. I don't know if it's too trendy or you buy into it, but we're getting to a decent sample size, 25 games now. He's 18-7 ATS on the road. And as a road dog, he's 17-5, which is covering 77% of the time.
I saw that. You know, yeah. The four quarterbacks that only had, there are only four quarterbacks that are better as road dogs. Can you name one of them?
Well, you've got to be on a bad team, right? Because you got to be a dog a whole lot of time. So you probably start poor like the Giants did in his career. And then at some point you turn it on and you're pretty good. I have no idea. I have no idea on the error or anything. What do you got?
Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, Eli Manning are the only four quarterbacks that have been more profitable. Yeah, well, Teddy, 21-4 as a road dog, ATS. Rivers 41-23, Breeze 42-29, Eli 46-34. Daniel Jones, as you mentioned, not a big sample size, but 17-5 is certainly something. And you know me, I don't look at trends or study Football Reference to get these bets. I think the right trend is an ancillary piece. It's a topping on the pizza.
Yeah.
It's not the cheese or the sauce.
I find it interesting. Like, we've been talking about this a couple of years. I will say also with Daniel Jones, I was looking at his best performances this year. Like, if you go by QBR, passer rating and all that, the majority of his best performances have come at home. But it's something when you see what last week, did you notice that the road teams, they all excelled. They were a perfect 6-0 in the first half ATS. So this home field that for a lot of years people have said, oh, it's 3 points. That is incorrect information. It is not 3 points. Traveling does not affect some of these quarterbacks. So in that sense, I do think it is something.
Right. And home field, you know, you talk to the guys like Ed Sammons at the Westgate, Chris Andrews, South Point, Metcalf at Circa. NFL home field is like 1.6 now. That's all it is.
Yep.
1.6 points. I also, like, my big fear in this game is that the Vikings are just so freaking bad and overrated that I'm clouded. And another interesting note in this game, Daniel Jones has a higher rush prop than Jalen Hurts. That's where we're at in 2023. It's crazy to think that.
Yeah, there's concern about the injury there. I was looking at Miles Sanders, if you're into props as well. His number 65.5, but you would have to, I think, believe in the Eagles that they're going to control that game and run more in the second half to finish off that one. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. My guest this week, previewing the divisional round, Sam Panionovic, Chicago guy, Nesson, Fox Sports, Chicken Dinner Podcast. All right, I find this one interesting to start things off tomorrow in the AFC. And we were just talking about how home field advantage is not what people think it is. We were going to see this game. We started to see this game until it was canceled. But that line a couple of weeks ago in Cincinnati was the Bills are favored 1.5, 2, somewhere in that range. Now we change venues and it's showing you exactly what home field is worth. Maybe the line is a little short when you consider the issues with the Bengals offensive line. Bills are favored by 5.5, total 48.5, Sammy, Bengals at Bills.
Before the playoffs, I bet Bengals. Before the playoffs, I bet Niners-Bengals Super Bowl. So let me start by saying that my bread is already buttered with Skyline Chili, if you want. This game, I think, should be closer to 3.5, 4. But the wise guys in Vegas have bet Buffalo based on the reports on Cincy's offensive line.
Yep.
Joey Bag of Donuts is going to be working with 3 backup offensive linemen, which is not ideal. But I think the most interesting part about this game is that Josh Allen has been kind of blech the last 6 weeks or so. And we knew, you know, looking at his stats, you know, through 14 picks in the regular season, through 2 last week, that team should have bulldozed and railroaded Miami, but they let him in the game and escaped with a 3-point win. Allen was far from good in that game. The Bills' recent form just isn't good. And, you know, our guy Barry Rosner always talks about 2 things in golf: horses for courses and recent form. Mm-hmm. And Buffalo's recent form doesn't justify them being a 5.5, 6-point favorite. It just doesn't. I have my concerns about Burrow taking too many licks, but also Joey's just a different player, man, in this realm or in this atmosphere. LSU down the stretch, just a monster, a killer. Same thing last season. You know, they beat better teams. They beat better teams in the playoffs because he was the better quarterback. And I think he's good enough to keep this inside the number. I hope they win the game outright because then my futures look really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get a little crazy or a little weird if I want. But I can't believe that I can, you know, I can find a couple stale sixes on the board right now. How do I not take 6 with the Bengals? I'm nervous, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes, man.
We were Oppo Eagles Giants. We're on the same side with the Bengals Bills. Doubting Joe Burrow, and he's getting close to a touchdown. Seriously. I mean, this guy against teams that are above 500, he's 14-2 straight up. He rises when the moments are its biggest. Let's not forget that the Bengals reached the Super Bowl with a horrendous offensive line last year. And you're right. Jonah Williams going down the left tackle is not good. It's three starting offensive linemen in 3 weeks. But Jonah Williams also gave up 13 sacks. That's the most this year because the Bengals passed so much. Burrow holds on to the football for a very long period of time. And the questions about Josh Allen, certainly fair. You've said that he struggled recently. All true. He has six multi-interception games this year. And these are against bad defenses. Like, Miami's not a good defense last week. Bears are terrible. Vikings stink. He threw a couple picks against all of these defenses. So I think those concerns are certainly valid. And I do understand why some of the sharper guys are, quote, backing the Bills because of the state of this offensive line. But we've seen Joey B get it done. He's got those weapons on the outside with Higgins and Chase. It wouldn't surprise me if Higgins ends up having a big day today. How about that Bills defense? I certainly don't trust them like we did a year ago. I like the Bengals. Yeah, you're giving me all these points with Joe Burrow. He was an underdog twice this year. He covered against Baltimore, and he won outright against Kansas City. So we're on the same side, man. We are back in the Bengals. Let me throw another quick angle because I see this thrown a lot out there this week, and it's really the first time of the year. Like this is where we are now in the playoffs when people are throwing these angles out there. Do you buy into any stat, anything with certain referees? Because I know a lot of people are talking about Carl Cheffers being the ref for this game, and in his last 11 playoff games, they're 10-1 to the under.
Wow. I'm not a ref conspiracy guy, even though we had Tim Donaghy on Chicken Dinner back in the day. I am not really one that dives into that stuff. I respect people that do that. You know how I feel about trends, man. It's like, well, you know, like even the Brady trend, that like the most lazy trend last week was that Tom Brady has never lost to Dallas. And the first meeting against Dallas was in like 2005.
It's so stupid. So stupid.
Yeah, 2000, here we go. The Brady meetings against Dallas, 03, 07, 11. How many of those Cowboys were on the field on Monday night? None.
There are so many trends available that whatever happens, you can say you were right. Because those same people can say, well, no, I was right about this trend because Brady's terrible at night. And he was terrible at night again.
He sucked, man. And that guy, God. Like, what a terrible way to go out. He threw the ball 66 times, and it was not great. And as I told you, I was on Brady, so that was no fun. But no, I don't really look at referee stuff. I look at when it comes to this game, and it comes to really any underdog in the NFL postseason, I want a quarterback that can take me to the promised land and get me touchdowns. And of all the underdogs on the board, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, that's the one. Like, that's the one dog I want to put my money on, and that's the one dog that I feel comfortable putting my money on because I have Joe Burrow catching over 4.5 points, which is what I made the game. I made the game Buffalo 4. The fact that I can get 4.5 or higher, to me, doesn't make any sense. So that's why I took Cincy. But the ref stuff is interesting, too. You said, what, 11-1 to the under? 12-1 to the under?
11-1 to the under in playoff games. Here's why I find it interesting. Because the unders are hitting by 13 points per game. We saw it this week, right? With the way the games were officiated, it led to more scoring. And then what do you know? 5-1 to the over. So there are certain referees that play into it. One more game, Sammy Panionovic. Cowboys, Niners. As far as a side, I have had more trouble with this game than any of the four this weekend. It's been bouncing between 3.5 and 4 in favor of San Francisco. The total is 46. Extra rest for the Niners. It's a short week for the Cowboys. Where do you stand?
I actually don't like a side here. Can I hit you with a prop?
I know you love props, so please do.
Yeah, I was in the lab cooking this up. You know, that's okay. What the kids say these days, right? I look at the way that Brandon Ayuk has performed, not only with Brock Purdy, but since the Niners have rolled into full health. Obviously, Purdy's getting a lot of headlines. 6-0 since Jimmy G went down. And Purdy's been very good. He's been calm, cool, collected. This team has been different with him under center. But the more important thing, Joe, is that Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and George Kittle are all healthy. So if you're a defense or a defensive coordinator, who are you trying to take out? probably McCaffrey or Debo. And then you have to account for Kittle on the drags and the post up the middle. So Brandon Ayuk has been single covered in the last six games. And while he might be technically the fourth weapon, he is getting over this receiving number, and he's doing it at an alarming rate. How about these six games? 73 yards, 59 yards, 101 yards, 81 yards, 19 yards in one game, 57 in the first one with Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. So not a big sample size, but he's gone over this number a lot. 53 and a half at pretty much every book. I like the over because he's getting isolated looks down the field. And if he gets the right slant combination, he makes the catch, makes a man miss, boom, he's gone for 30 yards. If he gets four catches, this is an easy over. 73, 59, 101, 81, 57 in five of the six games. I'm betting over on Ayuk, and I also lean under the total at 46. They opened just under 47, ironically enough. Not 47, not 47 and a half. They opened 46. I lean to the under, but I think that Ayuk bet is certainly something that's going to make some money.
So the total is dipping, but I hear a lot of people talking about betting the over, and you're on the under. Very interesting. The Niners are the most public team right now. I don't know that they're going to be this game, this side is going to be the most public side, but they're the most public team. The head trader, BetMGM, over on BetQL Daily the other day told us that last week they took more money on San Francisco to win the Super Bowl, more money on the Niners than at that time the other 13 teams alive combined. They're all in on the Niners. They're buying into Purdy and now winning six consecutive starts as a rookie. Big Ben was the only guy to start that way. And it's certainly fair when people bring up the weak defenses Purdy has faced. Last week, it was Seattle before that, Arizona, Vegas, Washington bad against the pass, Seattle again. I understand that. During this San Francisco run, which has now hit 11 straight victories, look at the quarterbacks they're beating. Geno, Lau, Stidham, Wentz and Heinicke.
Stidham lit them up too, man. Stidham lit them up.
Yeah, he did. McCoy, Dalton, they face some really bad quarterbacks. Now, I mentioned earlier, I'm having a tougher time on this one than any other. Anybody not going to have a missed extra point prop in this game, by the way, with Maher? There are two very public things. The Saturday teaser and then the Maher missed extra point. Four straight road game for the Cowboys. It's a lean, but, you know, if you go over the wins for the Cowboys, there are a number of quality wins. They beat the Giants twice. They went to Minnesota, housed them 40-3. They did beat the Eagles, even though that was a non-Hurts game. They beat Cincinnati earlier on in the year. It's a matter of which Cowboys team is going to show up. If the good Cowboys team shows up, they're going to go out there and they're going to win. They're going to knock out the two seed, and they're going to move on to the NFC Championship game, probably against the Eagles. I lean Cowboys. Now I'm starting to understand why this number is shorter than I thought it would be.
There's some guy listening to this show right now, you and I both know, that had under 45 and a half for way too much money. And whether it be a nickel or a dime, or maybe it was rent like we used to do back in the day. Under 45 and a half, 31-14 with four missed extra points. What a win, huh? Or what a loss the other way. That would suck.
Seven touchdowns were scored and it didn't go over. It's unbelievable. And they're trotting this guy back out there, which I would not do, but I lived through Cody Parkey. You lived through Cody Parkey. So that's part of the reason that I would not do it, but I guess they have an out. McCarthy has an out. Like, oh, I can just blame it on the kicker if we end up losing this game because of that. It's not going to be all favorites, right? Winning.
I don't think so. I don't think the 14
going to happen.
Hits. I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, they're doing that too. Have you heard that?
Everybody at work, like, people don't even gamble. They're like, whoa, I love the Chiefs and the Eagles in a parlay, money line.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Yeah, please. Please don't happen. I don't want to see that either. It's going to go wrong some way. All right, Sam Panayotovich. Follow him on Twitter at SP Shoot. Check his workout, Nesson, Fox Sports, Chicken Dinner Podcast. All the links are right there on his Twitter at SP Shoot. Sammy, best of luck this weekend, all right?
Hey, man, thanks for thinking about me, and good luck to you and all your followers and listeners this weekend. Mark!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner all around. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on The Score, usually 8 to 9 a.m., so check us out every Saturday morning if you like what you're hearing. Up next, Jim Miller drops by, and I already know we're going to have a spirited debate on one of these divisional round games. I'm on Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. You're listening to 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Hey, you can hear me weekdays, 8 to 11 a.m. on the BetQL Network, 105.9 FM, HD2, Odyssey app. Just search the BetQL Network. And every week, if you're with us on Early Odds, typically 8 to 9 a.m., you know a regular on the show is my friend Jim Miller from Hawthorne Racecourse. So we can go over all the divisional round games. Jim, we are big in Survivor. We're in now a media Survivor pool. We were talking about our against the spread pool a lot this year. Yep. I find it an interesting conversation because when you talk about a Survivor pool, what you're doing is you're trying to figure out which teams are going to be matching up in the Super Bowl, and you want to avoid taking said teams in the divisional round. And both of us are still alive. You went with Dallas. I didn't agree with that pick. You were obviously very smart. That was never a sweat on Monday night. I was thinking Chargers, and I'm so happy I didn't go with the Chargers because that was going to be heartbreaking. But I ended up going with the Bengals. I thought they were going to win, and I wasn't going to use them anymore. Like, I'm just out on that team at this point, even though they've reached the final eight, and I'm holding a Super Bowl ticket. I don't have a lot of faith in that one due to the state of that team. So what is your thought process when I'm trying to figure out which team I'm going with today for Survivor? I am looking at what I think the Super Bowl matchup is going to be. And there are a couple ways to go about it. You could just pick one side, meaning the AFC or the NFC, and you stick with picks there. And then you go into the other side if you make it all the way to the Super Bowl. Or you can just kind of go back and forth. I'm thinking I need to avoid Philadelphia and Buffalo because right now those are the two teams I think are going to meet in the end. How about you?
I think maybe Buffalo. I don't think Philadelphia. And that's the thing. And when you talk about something like this, like you mentioned, it's, okay, which way do you play things? And I would have played things much differently if things had gone a little differently and Tyler Huntley knew how to run a QB sneak. And all of a sudden you had a lot more entries that were knocked out, which would have been you too, if Cincy had gotten knocked out. But here's the thing. When you have as many people left as we do, and about half of our pool got knocked out, Joe, for those listening, you still look through and you have to figure, You have to not only get to the Super Bowl, I think this year you're going to have to go to the Super Bowl and have at least one team alive. And last year for our pool, this pool ended in championship weekend. We ended up chopping the pot in championship weekend, but it was just a bloodbath early on. But for me, and we talked about it last week, I feel San Francisco is the best team in the NFC. So I want to stay away from them as long as possible. And as long as possible may only mean one more week. But I played Dallas last week. I was very happy with the way they went. So I'm going to the other side this week, and okay. I'm going to the AFC side. I have a belief that the winner of the Bengals-Bills game is going to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. Ooh. So for me, I'm sitting there looking at the Chiefs at home saying, this is the only time I personally am going to use them in the playoffs. So the Chiefs will be my pick this week. But I think they have so many defensive holes, and you look at what could be their opposition going forward for the championship weekend between whomever wins that game between the Bengals and the Bills. I think either of those teams would beat KC next week, so the Chiefs would be my selection this week.
Kansas City is one of two teams that I have written down that I'm debating. Now, that would be Cincinnati and then using Kansas City on the same side. But then I don't have the option of the Buffalo-Kansas City winner, if they be in the AFC Championship, to win the Super Bowl. So then I can't hold out on that. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm high on Philadelphia. I think Buffalo, I'd like to save Kansas City, but maybe I take them. I have to pick the San Francisco-Dallas winner because I don't think San Francisco's going to the Super Bowl. I know you'll disagree with this one.
Yes, sir.
I'm actually considering just going for the jugular and taking Dallas.
Interesting. Here's the thing that makes me question when you get into those games, and I know we're going to jump into the games a little bit.
Yeah.
Is everybody getting so excited because of how well Dallas played last week against what was probably a mediocre Tampa Bay Buccaneers team? Is that the reason the line is where it's at? Or is Dallas finally legit and are they for real? That's what you're going to find out this week. I still don't know about that. I think San Francisco is just that good. I think they're far and better beyond anybody in the NFC, and we are definitely going to find out in that game on Sunday.
They haven't lost a game since adding Christian McCaffrey. They're 11-0 straight up, 9-2 against the spread. That's the 11-game winning streak. They trade for McCaffrey. Think about how long ago that happened, and they do have extra time to prepare here with the rest. If Purdy does it tomorrow, it'll be the first time he did it against a good defense. And I still think, even though they were trending down at the end of the season, I still think that Cowboys defense is pretty good. And he's going to face consistent pressure for the first time in one of these games. Everything around him is perfect. The defense is the best. The options in the backfield and on the outside are phenomenal. So you can see why Purdy is actually getting it done. I will say one thing that did stand out to me is the number of quality wins that the Cowboys do have this year. And San Francisco, they don't really have any. They don't have a win against the other seven teams that are still standing here. One reason I certainly hesitate on this is the biggest mismatch of coaching staffs of any game this week, and it's not close. Shanahan v. McCarthy.
It's not close at all. And here's the thing, too. You look a little bit deeper into this game also. The Niners now have what surely appears to be a healthy Deebo Samuel. You have Christian McCaffrey. There's two different options to handle the ball there. On the receiving end, there's Deebo. Then all of a sudden, Kittle has been awesome all year. Ayuk has been awesome all year. And it drives me crazy right now, Joe. I've heard so many sports radio shows constantly talking about what quarterback is heading to San Fran next year? What quarterback's going to run San Fran next year? Why can't Brock Purdy be the quarterback? Well, he hasn't done anything wrong. Why can't he be the quarterback for next year? This is a guy who is amongst the top five or six right now for MVP voting possibilities for the Super Bowl. And they're talking about who's going to be the starting quarterback in San Fran next year. It's such an interesting discussion that I hear time and again and again.
Well, whichever quarterback was the signal caller for the Niners would be the fourth or fifth favorite. I don't know if that's about Purdy as much. We're going to learn a lot. This is his first true test. Now he is at home, and they are terrific at home. All right, let's take a look at some player props. Start on the NFC side. Any player props in either NFC game? We've got the Eagles-Giants tonight, Niners-Cowboys tomorrow night. How about this, man? I mean, that Niners-Cowboys game, I can't wait for it. Nostalgia is just going to set in, right? I'm going to be waiting on Pat Summerall and John Madden to call the game.
All right, so here, let's start with that game, just because we talked so much about it. There's a couple different things that popped up for me on this game that I found interesting. On the props line, you can get 14-1 on Deebo Samuel right now to have 150-plus combined rushing and receiving yards. That's a big game, but the number's decent at 46, I think, for these two. I think they're going to go over in the game. I think he could surpass that. Another thing that could pop up in that game, and this is looking further down the line, and you talked about this last week, Joe, you caught a massive number on Deebo Samuel as a Super Bowl MVP.
Yes.
If you are a believer in the Niners and you still believe they can go to the Super Bowl, you can get both George Kittle or Brandon Ayuk still at 120-1 right now.
Woo.
For Super Bowl MVP. And Kittle's a guy that could very easily go off for 100-plus yards and two receiving TDs. Why not take a look? If you're a believer in San Fran like I am, those are the two routes that I would look, at least surrounding the 49ers in that game on Sunday night.
Okay, interesting. Ayuk, not one of the names I've considered. Now, there are a lot of players on that Niners roster that could potentially be Super Bowl MVP if they were to win it, but not one that I had considered. You can look on defense. I was looking at Nick Bosa, 66-1.
Yeah.
He's going to be the defensive player of the year. The list of players that I think in this era that could win Super Bowl MVP is very short, but Nick Bosa's on that list. That's a monster number for him. I mean, if they make the Super Bowl, don't you think that number is going to be 8 or 10-1?
It would have to be. This is a guy that has the potential to get 3 or 4 sacks in any game.
Yeah.
A number like that puts you in contention and in the mix for a Super Bowl discussion, especially when you're on a defense that has the potential to not give up a whole lot of points and dominate a game. That's a huge number on Bosa right now.
How about the other NFC game? Giants-Eagles, I mentioned that. I'm big on the Eagles. I think it's going to be a Sanders game. His number 65.5. I was looking at some of the alt numbers. 100-plus was 4-1. 125-plus was 8-1. I might dabble in that. What grabs your attention?
There are two different routes I went for this game, Joe, that I saw. One of them I found a nice prop. It was at 4.5-1. The combination of Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts rushing yards to combine for 150-plus rushing yards.
I saw that.
I think there's the potential for that. The other one that I found intriguing, this is a game that intrigues me a little bit only because I feel the Giants can win this game. And here's the thing. If you look through some of the team props for the weekend, one of the team props is lowest scoring team of the weekend. If the Giants are to win this game, it's going to be a ground-and-pound game. They're going to have to win in a low-scoring game. You can get the Philadelphia Eagles at 12-1 to be the lowest-scoring team of the weekend.
Wow.
And I think every other game puts up a lot of points. I think whoever loses this game is the one that puts up the least amount of points on the weekend.
Your Jones-Hurts prop, interesting note. They have 1,468 combined rushing yards this season. So that's the most we've ever seen between two quarterbacks in a playoff matchup. Jones and Hurts, this era of running quarterbacks. So I think that's an interesting angle. The problem is one might go off and the other might not do so much. Eagles defense certainly going to pay close attention after what Daniel Jones was able to do on the ground last week. All right, we disagree on this game, man, because I'm big on the Eagles and you're big on the Giants. Everybody's talking about it. Are you still going to bet Boston Scott anytime touchdown? He's got a touchdown against the Giants 7 of his last 8 games.
And he's gotten involved late in the season, too.
I know. Yeah.
Why not?
Could be last touchdown, too. I believe you can get an 18-1 on that. Eagles up by a couple of scores, grinding it out, and the backup running back gets a look. Could be. Boston Scott.
Definitely. I wouldn't surprise me one bit. You look at him, and you just look, especially if you're close to the goal line, and Hurts is a guy that you don't want to subject to getting pounded near the goal line, too.
Yeah.
Boston Scott's a definite look.
Maybe there's a live wagering opportunity. When you watch Jalen Hurts on a couple of drives, are we getting the guy that's going to be out there on the designed runs? Are we going to get a guy that was looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year, or more of what we saw in week 18 in his return against this Giant squad? Interesting. How about either AFC matchup? Any props you want to mention?
All right. So I want to look at the Bengals and Bills game. Here's an interesting prop that I liked for this game. It's a Nyheim Hines anytime kickoff return for a touchdown. You can get this at 50-1 right now.
He's going to do it again?
The only reason, 50-1 on a Nyheim Hines anytime kickoff return for a touchdown. And here's the thing, Joe. The Bengals are going to put up points, be it field goals, be it touchdowns. he's probably going to get, what, 5, 6, maybe 7 chances over the course of this game to return kicks, and he's going to take it out. Why not take the shot at that?
Woo, that's a long shot. You know I'm down for some long shots between Burrow and Allen. Could end up being a shootout. Interesting that the total has been dropping throughout the week with the matchup of the two best quarterbacks between Burrow and Josh Allen. All right, Jim, we covered props on the divisional round games. What about your favorite side? You had a very good season, ATS. Favorite side between the four games today and tomorrow?
If the number stays at 7.5, I'm going to take the Giants. I think that half point makes a difference. I think the Giants actually can win outright, but I think the game's going to be close. I know you like the other side. 7.5 could be the difference. I think the Giants are going to make this a ball game. They played with nobody at all the last week of the season, and they still covered the number.
All right.
I think they make it a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me the same exact question, I answer you Eagles minus 7, 7.5.
Yes.
I'm good with that. And I'm not comfortable right now because my two guys, you and right before you right here on Early Odds, we had Sammy Panionovic, and he's on the Giants. Ah. This is uncomfortable. All right. I'm staying strong. I'm with the Eagles. Fly,
luck,
Eagles,
Joe.
Fly. Fly, Eagles, fly. Which horses will be flying today, Jim?
We're going to one track and one track only because it's a great card at the fairgrounds on Saturday. Races 12, 13, and 14 we're betting on. Bet all these horses across the board. Race 12, bet the 7, Forest Chimes across the board. Race 13, bet the 8, Zozos across the board. And race 14, this is one of the three-year-old Derby preps, but the one Echo Again across the board and make some money for an NFL Sunday.
Jim Miller, Hawthorne Racecourse. Let's do it again next week as we preview Championship Sunday. Jim, it's arguably the best football weekend of the year, right? I mean, I would think so. Wildcard weekend was fun, but now we get those one seeds involved once again. And it's also a little sad because after tomorrow night, we're only going to have 3 NFL games left.
I love having Saturday and Sunday football, too. But
yes,
you know what? We'll deal with it. It's a great weekend. Good luck, Joe. Hopefully, we're both alive and Survivor next week. I know I will be. We'll see if you are, too.
Oh, of course you will be, taking the chalky Chiefs. Well, we've been talking about all four games this hour, but what about some props? Let's do that on the other side. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. It's divisional round weekend, and you'll be able to hear all 4 NFL playoff games on The Score. A few props to consider. The Boston Scott anytime touchdown, something you have to look at. The Eagles backup running back has a TD in 7 of his last 8 against the Giants, and the odds are plus 380. Last touchdown of the game, 25-1. Miles Sanders went for 144 in 2 scores versus this lousy Giants run defense in week 14. So there's another prop possibility. Awesome Chiefs passing game against the poor Jags pass defense. Patrick Mahomes over 2.5 passing touchdowns is plus money. And tomorrow, look for T. Higgins to go over 63.5 yards with all the attention on Chase. Next week, Early Odds returns to our usual Saturday 8 to 9 a.m. time slot. Don't forget to subscribe to the BetQL Daily Podcast. 5 shows a week. We're live 8 to 11 a.m. on weekdays, airing on 105.9 FM HD2 and the Odyssey app under the BetQL Network. Cash those tickets this weekend and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.